Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Sinners. So, how do we overcome that one? Well, if you're found in Christ, it's like being found in the circle where judgment has already taken place. The fire's already burned. It has to burn, and it has to burn where you are. But if you're in Christ, the burn has already taken place on the cross. Our righteousness doesn't get us to heaven. Our goodness doesn't add anything. It's standing in that circle. It's being found in Christ. We're saved by grace through faith, by Him, in Him alone, in our righteousness.
Sin overtakes whoever lets it. Satan is always waiting for more people to fall into temptation to never return. Through faith, as you'll see today with Pastor Troy, you're saved by grace. And that salvation includes forgiveness of all your sins. Hell is the eventual destination for anyone who doesn't turn to God for hope and healing. But when you give your life to God, the burning for all of your sin has already happened because God removes it from your life so you can live undistracted in Him. Now here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 8 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Sin keeps us blinded from the light. It separates us. Self-righteousness keeps us thinking that we're okay. I'm a good person. Worldliness keeps us preoccupied. It keeps us from being a holy vessel. That's what makes worship complete for us, is being a holy vessel. Remember, a vessel was not a person, so it has no moral compass. It has no moral anything. A vessel, what made it holy was it's set apart, it's clean, it's ready for use. It's ready. Worldliness is the opposite of that. When we're worldly, we're busy this. I got all these on my schedule for that. And you know, I'm busy and filled. And I got worldly stuff coming in. I'm watching that show and this show. And I'm not clean. That makes us unholy, worldly, and unavailable. We're going through Ruth, one study this past Wednesday. One of the things that we saw in Ruth was that as Boaz was sharing how he was able to take this Moabite woman, Ruth, and take her in and be the kinsman redeemer, because he was a man of good standing, good character. He said, her character is above reproach. This woman fits. She's not going to, she's done what she needs to do to honor, glorify. She has faith. And so that qualified her to marry Boaz. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been a holy vessel, usable. Because she would have disqualified herself. So let's talk about, now that we saw what builds the wall, let's talk about what blasts it. Verse 25. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. So what blasts it? Verse 24, Jesus says, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That word if is a very, very important word. It's the hinge that determines which side of the wall you find yourself on. If. The word he If you do not believe that I am he, the word he is probably italicized or annotated in your Bible. And the reason is because it's not there. It's not there in the original. It's there in the English. Later on, at the very end, verse 58, I believe it is, it's not there, but it's not there here either. And so they added it, I guess for the sake of argument, so that at the end he can reveal, I am, and that's when they pick up the stones. But Jesus has said this a couple of times, actually. And Jesus, if you say it literally, Jesus is saying that unless you believe that I am. So this would take the Jewish listener back to Moses, right? That's where they would have first heard this. Because Moses was standing before the burning bush, God in the burning bush, and as he's going to go in and deliver, he's saying, who should I tell them sent me? And he says, I am that I am. Tell them I am has sent you. So the Lord sent a redeemer into a people who were enslaved. And he said, tell them that I am has sent you. And we have the same exact thing happening right in their presence right here. A messenger sent by the Father who says, I am has sent me, except one special thing. He says, not only has I am sent me, but I am. Now, he's claiming equality with God. They don't get it just yet. They don't know he's talking about the Father. They're unclear on certain things until later on, after they've discussed Moses and everything else. They have their context, and then they're ready to throw stones at him. But Jesus says, I have been saying who I am for a while. I am. At the end of this discussion, in verse 58, he drives the point home and says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And they said, how could you see Abraham? How do you know Abraham? You're not even old enough. And then that's where he says one final time, before Abraham was, I am. I know you haven't got it yet. I am. I am. But now he says, before Abraham was, I am. Whoa, 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 whoa. And then they pick up the stones to throw at him. So we need to, number one, if we're going to get through this wall of unbelief, this is a very important one, believe in his person. We have to believe in who Jesus is. There are some false ideas about who he is. We had Adams Road here, and they talked about Mormonism. And the Mormon Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. He's the spirit brother of Lucifer. Came down, they're both equal. Lucifer had one plan to redeem. Jesus had another. God, the Father, Elohim, went with Jesus' plan, made Satan mad, and now he's kind of become an enemy of the whole deal. Weird. Not true. Not a Jesus that saves. No matter how good you are in that religion, you can't be saved. You do not have the right Jesus. It is a deception of the enemy, misleading people. It's not about morality when you go to heaven. It's about Jesus. Did you believe in him? There's a lot of deception. So we must believe in him. It says here, if you don't believe that, you will die in your sin. Second, believe in his work. Obviously, right? I mean, went to the cross for a reason. Verse 28 says this, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. When he says being lifted up, he's not talking about like when we sing, lifted higher, be lift you higher. In our minds, we're not thinking, we're just nailing you to the cross again. Lord, just lifting you up. But that's what he's talking about, being lifted up. When he's lifted up, he's talking about being lifted up on the cross. Don't worry about it. When we sing, we're not singing about that. We lift you higher in exaltation. But when Jesus is speaking about being lifted up here, it is being placed on the cross, crucified on the cross. And he'll reference Moses. When Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It's in John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So we believe in him, who he is, but we also believe in the work that happened, that took place. And then he says, they will know. You'll know by what happens. Well, a lot of them saw what happened. They didn't believe. What did he mean by that? Well, the event is the cross, but what he's saying is there's going to be certain things that prove this is not just another guy getting nailed to the cross, because Jesus wasn't the first nailed to a cross. I hope you know that. There were many who were nailed to the cross. Two thieves were right next to him. And so he says, this is not going to be an ordinary crucifixion, and you will know because some things are going to happen on that day. You will know that day that this wasn't some mere person. Well, what happened? Well, different things. The thief on the cross converts, believes in him. That's pretty amazing. The darkness that covered the earth, that was miraculous, caught some attention. The earth being shaken, Jesus saying, it is finished. What is finished? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The torn veil on the temple. These were pretty massive signs, and that was torn from top to bottom. They were such massive signs that one Roman soldier stood there and said, surely this was the Son of God. He got it. But see, if you don't believe in his work, if you don't believe in him, you're not going to get it. So we must believe in him. We believe in his work. The cross is the remedy for sin. Look to the cross. It breaks down your heart. It breaks down all barriers when you realize what has been done for you. I've seen the meanest of people become so thankful and kind when they see a kind act. If we just look to the cross, if we realize what happened on the cross, it will change our life. We got to believe in that work. You know, talking about believing in that work, we all owe the price of sin. That's judgment. There is a fire coming. That fire is coming. It's the fire of judgment. It's not biased. It will judge and consume whoever has that sin nature. But let me tell you a little story about father and his daughter out on the prairies long before we had houses like we have today. And when fires, when they threatened, they were out on the prairie, they would start and they would move usually away from the town, leaving you vulnerable out there in the middle of just land. And when it was dry and winds were blowing, you stood no chance.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on building on the solid rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about building on the solid rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
Well, this father got the idea that if he just took the stuff that he had to make a fire himself with and did some burning, some pre-burning around him, that'd be the only way he could think of saving him and his daughter. So he makes this huge area, his own burn, and then just hoping upon hope, he and his daughter are in the center there. And though the warmth got to them, the fire did not, and they survived. Fire departments do this all the time. They pre-burn to try to stop a fire. Let's pre-burn. Let's go here so that it doesn't hopefully jump. Well, sin has to be judged. We're all sinners. So, how do we overcome that one? Well, if you're found in Christ, it's like being found in the circle where judgment has already taken place. The fire's already burned. It has to burn, and it has to burn where you are. But if you're in Christ, the burn has already taken place on the cross. Our righteousness doesn't get us to heaven. Our goodness doesn't add anything. It's standing in that circle. It's being found in Christ. We're saved by grace through faith, by Him, in Him alone. And our righteousness, it's not our own work, it's His. Let me reduce this main truth, if it's to irreducible minimum. You either believe that He is His person, and you believe in His work, and you will live. Or you trust in your own person, your own work, your own character, and you will die. If your faith is not in Christ, you will die apart from him. So believe in him, believe in his work. Finally, believe in his word. Verse 25, then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. Now, when they ask this question, who are you? It's not a curious question, like, who are you? It's, who are you? I mean, these have been bold statements by Jesus. Who are you to make these claims? That's what this is. There's a pressing in, and Jesus says the same thing he would have said either way, which is the truth. I am exactly who I've been saying that I am. And so Jesus hasn't pulled any punches. He hasn't tried to deceive or hide anything. He's disclosed everything, but they haven't been getting it because they have that wall of unbelief. Jesus has been speaking truth. His words were from the Father. Get this, God was speaking to man. He was speaking words into our world. And then he goes back. When you trust in Christ, you believe in his person, who he is, and you believe in his work, what he did and why he did it. And then something happens to you when you believe that. Something happens to you. You're still in the world. You're not transported away. You're still in the world. But because of the deposit of the Holy Spirit, that new nature, you're born again. You have a new realization, new reality. You're able to see things differently like you never could before. And it gives you power to overcome in this life. It really does. There is no excuse for a Christian. We'll still stumble. There's no excuse for it. But we're forgiven. But we get back up and we continue to get the right perspective about sin, about that thing. Man, I love this thing, but man, every time I do this thing, it's not sin, but it stumbles me. So after a while, we have to go, I don't need that thing either then, because it just draws me into that thing. And we start to grow and learn and let go, and we're in the process of sanctification. We're still in the world, but we're no longer of the world. You escape its system, trying to please the world or trying to please self. And we begin to learn to build our treasures in the kingdom of heaven, which is where he told us to build anyway, didn't he? Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Not on earth, in heaven, where thieves don't break in and steal, moths don't destroy, rust doesn't destroy. So what happens is you begin to take his word. You find that it begins to bring growth and health and life. And you get excited about it. And you want more of it. And that's the process of sanctification. The more we taste and see that the Lord is good, the more we want. The more we get into the Word and we go, man, this is powerful. The more we want to get into the Word, it's a healthy, growing, maturing process that takes place when we give ourselves over to the Lord, because that's the way He leads us. Now, let's go back to something real quick in closing. Scripture says, you know, we talked about we are sinners. Before we even did our own first sin, you know, we're already a sinner, born that way. And so that seems unfair. But let me tell you about the wisdom of God here. We can't know everything about God, but this is pretty wise. You see, because God laid out the rule, there's a little loophole, you know. One man sinned. Therefore, sin spread to all. Therefore, based upon the one man's sin, everyone is a sinner and everyone is judged alike because of that. Now, that sounds unfair. And your sins just prove the case. When you go up there, he's not going to point out Adam's stuff. He's going to go, yeah, you are a sinner. And here's why. Here's all your stuff. See, shows you. But though that sounds unfair, it's a loophole that God uses for himself. Because if God is able to condemn based upon the one, he is also able to save based upon the one. See, we can now be saved, not because of my works, not because I've reversed everything, not because I never did sin. I can be saved in the finished work of what the Bible calls the second Adam. Jesus, what he did, one man, one death, can atone for the sins of the entire world. Why? Because the entire world was condemned based upon what happened in one man. And so, God's law. And Satan lost. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Our trust in him. Are you standing before a wall of unbelief today? Sin brings death, but faith in Christ brings life. Trusting in him, putting your life in his hands. Sin owns you. Sin keeps you from the light. You won't pursue it. You don't even have to hate God. It's just that you won't get any closer to him because you hold on to your sin. You find a happy, warm spot. I used to have a chihuahua, and he would love to go up to the sliding glass door and lay up against it because it was a warm spot. Just loved to lay there. Oh, yeah. We had some baby chicks, and it's funny. You know, you watch them in their box. You bring them in, and you put a little corner of sunlight, and it's funny to watch them because they kind of walk, and they just kind of fall over like, oh, so good. Well, that's what we do. We do with that. We try to negotiate with, I can't get any closer to the Lord because there's some things I hold on to. I can't get any closer to the light. I found I'm saved and I'm not going to grow anymore because, you know, I've got my line where I'm comfortable. Unbelief gets in the way of even the believer so that we can't grow and we can't let that happen. We can't build those walls. So sin owns you. Self-righteousness fools you, makes us feel like we're better off than we actually are. We don't see the right way. And worldliness distracts you. We're so busy about the things of the world, we have no time for godliness or for the Lord or for his word or for his work or for building his kingdom. We only have time to do what we got to do. That's enough. Worldliness. We have these devices now. I got two of them right here. I'm kicking on all cylinders. And these devices were supposed to make life simpler, easier. They do more for us. But really, they've just allowed us, sinners, to do more. So now we're doing way more than we've ever done in the past. At hours when no one used to be able to get a hold of us, now they can. And so we're doing it not only more, but more often. And we're so busy with worldliness, godliness is being pushed right out. And we are unholy vessels at best. This message is a light. Jesus just said, I am the light. The light has come on. Let's acknowledge this. Let's realize this. Be aware of it so that the enemy doesn't fool us and stumble us. And maybe we can knock down this wall of unbelief that may be being built up at our own hand. For the unsaved, Jesus is the way. He's the door. There's no other way. You can't be good enough. There's no religion that will save you. It's Jesus Christ, a relationship with him. If he's reaching out to you, respond. For the Christian who stagnates, doesn't grow, don't build up those walls. Even if it's just a little 4-foot wall, I can still see over it though. No, let's kick it down. Let's trust the Lord. Let's walk by faith. Be all in. We're in the kingdom of God. Let's put ourselves in such a place where if God doesn't show up and do something, we're in a mess. Let's believe him and not be so doubting all the time. If you've never been born again, there's no magic. I don't have a special touch or anything. If Jesus is reaching out to you and he's making himself real to you, acknowledge him. That's all you got to do. That he is. That he's there. Believe who he is. And trust him. And you'll be saved.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Needley will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages here on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. Again, our website is buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your